We're thankful for our choir and also our praise band over in the Family Life Center. They're doing a great job. I invite you today to turn with me to Psalm 1. And I want you to know this is one of the go-to psalms that I have. I don't have my devotion book with me on a certain day to send me in a certain direction. Psalm 1 is where I turn. Let me make two announcements for you quickly. Please hear me well. November 29th will be the last Sunday that we will live stream. We've had some quality issues and things, sometimes from our end, sometimes from the recipient's end. But let me give you the good news. On Tuesday at noon, every Tuesday, the contemporary service and the traditional service, all the music and the message will be there in its entirety, and you can play that over and over and over again until Jesus comes again. The live stream, you cannot repeat. Also, let me share with you Wednesday night starting in January. We're not sure if we'll be back live on Wednesday nights, but I want you to know that Ted, Billy, and I are going to be preaching series on Wednesday night. So there's going to be a video of a new message every Wednesday nights. So we've been using repeats, and some of you told me that you're tired of the repeats on Wednesday nights since we're not live up here. So we've got you covered. And I want you to know the Sunday services online will be a higher quality if they're not streamed. What you see on Tuesday and every time you want to repeat it, it'll be edited. So I think you'll be pleased with that. So look with me, if you will, at Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked, they're like chaff. The wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Here's what I believe with all my heart, mind, and soul. If you'll look at this psalm, you'll learn this psalm, and you'll live the principles of this psalm, you will discover the secret to happiness in Jesus Christ. Somebody wrote out 10 ways you can ensure that you have a happy life. The first one was, give something away, expecting nothing in return. A second one was very simple. Find a senior adult, sit down and have a talk with them. There's great wisdom that you can gain from talking with a senior adult. Do something kind and then forget about it. Another principle they gave was, look, it said, laugh often and then give thanks. 1,000 times a day of giving thanks is not enough. Pray. Work with vigor. Plan to live forever, because if you trust Christ as your Savior, you're going to live forever with Him in heaven. If you don't trust Jesus as Savior and Lord, you're going to live forever in hell. Then the last thing that they said was simply this. Said, live as though you'll die tomorrow, because on some tomorrow, you will die unless Jesus comes first. Now, those good rules, if applied, would make our lives happier, but the best principles to follow are found in the Word of God. Notice what he says here. He starts out by saying, blessed is the man. We find a person who has found real happiness in their life. In verse 1, those words, blessed is the man, the word blessed means happiness. The order of the Hebrew language in the sentence, if you were literally translating this from that language, it would be this: oh, how exceedingly happy is the man. He said, we'll find happiness if we follow the psalmist's advice. Now, Psalm 1, we have two pictures, one of a godly man and the other of an ungodly person. You know, for years and years, we didn't know who wrote Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. The Old Testament saints did not know the author. They knew that the Holy Spirit wrote the Psalms, but we didn't have a name. When we get over to the New Testament, we find the author of Psalm 2. You'll find that reference in Acts chapter 4, verse 25. We discover that David was the author of Psalm 2. These two psalms are like cliff notes. They actually sum up all the psalms. I want you to know that Psalm 1 begins with a blessing and ends with a curse. Psalm 2 begins with a curse and ends with a blessing. Psalm 1 is essentially a psalm of Christ. Psalm 2 is a psalm of the Antichrist. Psalm 1 shows meditation of the godly. Psalm 2 shows the meditation of the ungodly. These two psalms form the introduction of the Hebrew hymn book that we call the Psalms. Now, Psalm 1 is obviously divided in two parts. First of all, you have the godly in verses 1 through 3. And then in verses 4 through 6, you have a picture of the ungodly. What we have is a picture of the saint, the person who has been born again, purchased by the blood of Jesus on the cross. And then we have the sinner who has no use for Christ. Now, first of all, I want you to write this down. For the godly, there are certain people we should avoid. But let me qualify what I'm saying there. You can tell about a person by the places and the people they hang out with. Listen carefully. He says here, a child of God is told to stay away from certain types of people. The first person mentioned in the scripture is really called the skeptic, referred to in the psalm as the ungodly. In some translations, it is ungodly. That word un means not. If you're unafraid, that means you're courageous. You're not afraid. These people, he says, they are ungodly. There were some statistics not long ago, and this is just hard to believe. I don't know which pollster did this, but said that 96% of Americans believe in God, but only 4% believe there is no God. That's unbelievable, because over 80% of Americans act like there is no God. Now, the word here literally means wicked. You see, sometimes we think of wicked people as those who murder, lie, steal, rape. Well, certainly those are wicked people. I want you to know that a wicked person can be a man in a designer suit who comes every Sunday, he tithes and he gives to charitable causes. But I want you to know that he's actually got improper motives, impure motives, and outside of that suit, he lives a very ungodly life. Now listen, Psalm 1 describes two kinds of people. Those who are happy and those who are blessed and those who are wicked and those who are perishing. The difference between those two kinds of people is what we call character. John Wooden was the former head basketball coach at UCLA. He explained the meaning of character. He said, be more concerned with character than with your reputation. Your character is who you really are. Your reputation is who other people think you are. Character is the most important. Psalm 1 describes two different pathways. He says there's a pathway that leads to personal fulfillment marked by the principles of God. But then he says there's a life that leads towards destruction. And we see that is the path of the wicked. Now, it is the path of the wicked advice. It's the pattern of sinful behavior. It's a dismissive attitude towards God's will for our life. Look at Psalm 1. It says that we can lie to God about our character. But God, listen, he knows our hearts. He knows the difference between the sinner and the saint. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Well, we start out with the sinner, the skeptic, then he moves on to those who are ungodly and unholy. He not only lives as if there is no God, he just laughs at his sins and laughs by the fact that he doesn't believe there is a God. It's sort of like the attitude of the lady in Proverbs 30, verse 20. This is the way an adulterous woman, she eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wickedness. She's involved in adulterous relationships. She goes on with her life and says, I have not sinned. The second person here is also unholy. This is a person who doesn't just simply say, I don't have room for God in my life. He deliberately lives in such a way as if there is no God. Now, let me give you a good example of that. Many of the actors and actresses, not all of them, but many of the actresses and actors in Hollywood live gross, immoral lives. They flaunt that and expect you to accept it as normal, natural, right. And what is sad when we as practicing Christians go to the movies where they play out some of the parts they actually live in their real life, and we put money there in the box office so that can have an influence on our nation that stands against everything we're supposed to stand for in the Word of God. And then finally, we have the scornful. Those are the ones who are unruly. The word scornful there means a dog's snarl. It means to make a face at. This is a man who is not only a sinner, but he laughs about it, and he mocks God, and he mocks sin. Proverbs 14:9 says, fools mock at sin. The Bible also says a fool what? Says in his heart, there what? Is no God. Is it not appropriate that a fool would mock at sin? We're given specific advice about fellowship with these principles. First of all, write this down. Don't take the counsel of this world. Don't take counsel from the skeptic or the wicked. Now, what a lot of people do, even Christians, they're going through a bad time in their marriage. And so what they do is they go to work, and they work with a lot of ungodly, unsaved people. And maybe two or three or four of them have had two or three or four divorces, and you've never had a divorce, and you're having problems with your marriage. What you need is a Christian counselor. And you know what your friends do at work? They tell you the biggest shark divorce lawyer in this town where you can get the best cash settlement. We don't need to be taking the counsel of the world if we're going to live a godly life. I was reading the other day about two farmers, and a farmer down the road had a mule, and the mule got sick. He kept doctoring that mule. He just didn't get any better. So he had a neighbor named Sam, and he knew that Sam had a mule, and Sam's mule had been sick. So he went down the street, talked to Sam. Sam, my mule's sick. What'd you do for your mule? He said, I gave him a quart of kerosene. So the neighbor went back home, went to the store, got him a quart of kerosene, poured it down the mule. 2 days later, mule's dead. He went back to see Sam, said, Sam, I've got problems. He said, what's that? He said, you do what I told you to do? He said, yeah, I gave him a mule a quart of kerosene. He's dead. Sam said, I understand. That's what happened to my mule after I gave him a quart of kerosene. We don't need to listen to the world. We need to listen to the Word of God. Next thing I want you to write down is don't participate in the conduct of this world. Verse 1b, are standing in the way of sinners. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing wrong with being a friend of men and women, young people, who are lost. Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners, but he was trying to show them a higher, holier way to live. The verse teaches that we're not to stand in the way of sinners. We're not to participate in their sinful activities. Ladies and gentlemen, if you feed your mind on mental junk food, you'll live a junkyard kind of life. If you subject your mind to gossip magazines and you're looking at nasty stuff on your iPhone and on your pad, all of that, I want you to know, affects your mind and your heart. The Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. In Philippians, we find the words, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, we're to think on these things. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people through the years who've had addictions. I tell them, listen, the bottom line to all of this, first of all, you have got to want to be well. We need to pray for God's deliverance. But the other thing is you've got to change your playmates and your playpens. You need to run from temptation and get away from people that are involved in sinful activity. Another thing I want you to write down is don't connect with the attitude of the scornful. Verse 1b says, or sit in the seat of mockers. Notice there's a progression here. If you accept their advice, watch this, accept their advice, next thing you know, you're going to imitate their actions, and then you're going to adopt their attitude. John Maxwell has written some great books, one entitled The Winning Attitude, Your Key to Personal Success. Here's what he says in chapter 4. It's hard to soar with eagles when you have to live with the turkeys. And then Maxwell quotes Viktor Frankl, who said, the last of the human freedoms is to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. Our surroundings control our soaring. Turkey thinking plus turkey talking equals turkey walking. We quickly blend into the color of our surroundings, similarities in thinkings, talking, priority, and opinions. I was reading about a pastor the other day who went to school in Arkansas. And he said while he was getting his theological training at church, he met this young businessman. He said, now I'm talking a guy that was very, very successful financially. He said, we hit it off and we'd meet for lunch every now and then. And he said, one day we were having lunch and he said, you know what? You need to find another profession. You're going to waste your life and you can make a whole lot more money if you would just get into another profession and not be preaching. So one day I talked to him about his relationship to the Lord, asking if he ever trusted Jesus as Savior and followed him as Lord. And he said, I want you to know that businessman looked at me and said, don't you ever talk to me about God again. Look at me. I've got everything I need. I don't need God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this man dressed in designer suits, alligator belts and alligator shoes. He had the finest cars. He had everything. But I want you to know, as a young man, and 4 weeks later, he dropped dead in his tracks of a heart attack. Be careful about keeping company with those who ignore God or mock God. Stephen Smith wrote about a card he spotted on a banker's desk. Now, here's what the card said. In Africa, every day, a gazelle wakes up and thinks, I've got to run faster than the fastest lion, or I'm going to be eaten by the lion. He said, now the lion gets up every day and thinks to herself, because who does the hunting with the lions, male or female? Female. I don't find that hard to believe. Listen to me carefully. They're vicious. She wakes up every morning, and says, I've got to run faster than the slowest gazelle, or I'm going to starve to death. So at the bottom of this plaque, it said, it doesn't matter whether you're a lion or a gazelle, when the sun comes up, you had better be running. And that might be true in the Serengeti, but it's an unsustainable philosophy for life. The apostle noted there's a distinct difference between running for survival and running with purpose. Which way are you running? And then notice a passion for the word of God. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. The key to happiness is not going to be reading the Wall Street Journal. The key to happiness is not going to be reading Fortune 500 or Forbes. The key to happiness is not going to be watching the news every day and the mess we've got with this election and the prospect of the future of America. That's not going to bring you happiness. Where are you going to find happiness? In the Word of God. You need to read, look, delight in the Word of God. Look, he says, but his delight, verse 2, is in the law of the Lord. The godly man has a different counselor than the ungodly man. The godly man keeps different company than the ungodly man, and the godly man has a different cause to live for than the ungodly. How many of you delight in ice cream? There's certain kinds. I mean, some of it you won't go ahead and chew up and swallow, but others just like, let all the earth keep silence. I had a birthday not long ago, and Elaine got me a cake from the Honeymoon Bakery. Praise God. Now, she's trying to watch my weight. She said, I'm getting a little too heavy. And so she bought me a cake that was that big around and that tall. And I'm glad I only have 4 letters in my first name if you shorten it. And happy birthday, Phil. 1 candle. We had slivers. It was that sour cream chocolate inside and out. Have you had that yet? If you're allergic to chocolate, I'd just say take a Benadryl and go ahead and eat that. I mean, we made that little cake go a long, long way. Man, that's good stuff. How many of you delight in a great vacation without COVID? Do you love it? There's a lady that said that we told you we led to the Lord years and years ago at Panama City. I baptized her in the Gulf. She's still working there in charge of setup, takedown of the chairs and everything. And I tell you, we've just been spoiled. The last couple of years, we hadn't gone that this year, but the last couple of years, we go down there in the spring before it gets hot. There's a couple of hot days, and she knows I don't like to get hot. One day she walked up with a Ryobi fan with an 8-hour battery and set it up at our feet for our umbrella and our chairs. She said, don't tell any of my other 99 customers where you got this from. And at night she goes home and she charges the battery. We come down for our chair and she knows we don't want to be around the drinkers and the carousers and all this other stuff going. Put us next to some old people, just about gone. That's where we want to be, because that's where we are. Let all the earth keep quiet. And she slips down there. She brings that fan and puts it up right at our feet. We went to Hilton Head the other day to my sister's place down there. Went to the beach one day. Man, it was hot. I bought me a Ryobi fan with a battery in it. My sister said, you know what? Y'all are spoiled. I said, you know what? We love it. We just love it. Let me ask you this. Do you have a delight for the Word of God? Digest the Word of God. Look at verse 2b. He says, and on this law he meditates day and night. It's not enough to just read the Bible. But we need to study the Bible. We're to meditate. Really very interesting word here, meditate. Meditate means to murmur. It means to utter to yourself. It means to run it around in your mouth. You ever watch a cow chew her cud? You know, they can take a bite and sit there for 30 minutes. That's what he's saying. He said, we're to consciously be chewing on verses. The word meditate, let me take it a little further, also has the overtones of humming. Have you ever listened to a tune in a day and it just sticks in your brain? It's an old song by a secular group, Bachman Turner Overdrive. It's called Taking Care of Business. I don't know why the days that I have so much to do, sometimes it's as easy as fishing. You can be a musician if you get in with the right bunch of fellas. The train's on time. You can get to work by 9 and Y'all get the rest of it. And taking care of business. It's got a good beat to it. And that just keeps me going. Some days, you know, when I leave the house, Delaine, bless her heart, her eyesight is failing. She looks at me and she says, "Oh, I'm going to miss you all day." Ooh. I come to work singing, "My girl, my girl, my girl," talking about. Oh, don't act like you bunch of people that don't know secular songs. You know what I'm going to remember all day today? It is well with my soul. Diane Jones over here. When I see how God brings something together over 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years, whatever, Unseen Hand. If you've never heard Diane sing Unseen Hand, you've missed it. And Diane, I've still got some old heart song CDs. And when you sing Some Sweet Day, I'm right up there with you all the way at the top. That's what he's talking about with the Word of God. He said it ought to be just going over and over again in your mind as you digest. You ever look at John 3:16? Oh yeah, I know John 3:16. You ever break down John 3:16? For God so loves the world. Man, that's a lot of people. Let's break it down. For God so loves me. I don't deserve it, but he does. But let's break it down a little bit further. God loves the world. God loves me. So I have to what? Love the world. That's not easy to do. God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son. He had one son. Sacrificial, substitutionary, atoning death on the cross for the world and for me. But whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Simply means if you believe in Christ, you ask him in your heart, you'll have eternal life. But think about this a little bit further. When you meditate on that, when I die, I'm going to heaven. And I know that because that's what God has said. And ladies and gentlemen, there's another song that comes to my mind when I see that. I got joy, real joy. Where? Down in my soul. Isn't that right? That's another song. The Word of God will enable you to discern God's call for your life. The Word of God helps you make choices in your life. And the Word of God will comfort you when you need it. I've shared many times with you, Mom had Alzheimer's. It was just horrible. After 2.5 years, she didn't know herself, didn't know who we were, but physically, she was in great shape. We had those old pine panel custom cabinets in the house they built. Pine panel kitchen, pine panel den. We don't know what the deal was, but when the caregiver would get her up every morning, she brought the pledge down, my mother did, and a rag. And she would wax those cabinets every day. You couldn't even tell what color the pine was anymore. But we had a vinyl floor. So if you wanted to learn how to ice skate, just walk by where Mama's been. Mama fell and broke her hip. We had to put her in the hospital. She had to have a rod put in. We told the doctor, she's got osteoporosis. Went in there, put a steel rod in her hip, so we're on 24/7. We're taking shifts. She don't know what's going on. She don't understand all this, so they sent us across the road for rehab. Delaine and I walk in one day. She's in extreme pain. Delaine said, "Something's wrong with your mother. Rehab can't be going good." They x-ray. Guess what? That surgeon did not cement those screws into the rod, and the rod had come out into her leg. So guess what we got to do? We got to go back to the hospital, have surgery. The doctor in the hospital get paid twice for something that should have been done once. And I'm sitting there one night at 2 o'clock in the morning with a nurse having to change my mother's diaper. My mother's embarrassed. She's just mumbling on and on. Ladies and gentlemen, I never did see myself having to change my mother's diaper. But I want you to know that on that morning when I had my devotion, I read 1 Corinthians 15:42 through 44. A believer's physical struggles are temporary. One day this body will be like that of Christ. And that's all I needed to get through my shift that night. The position you take. Notice here, verse 3, he says, the person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Look at the first thing there, promise. Shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What he's talking about is you're planted by the river of the Word of God. You'll be stable. You'll be grounded. You'll grow. I had to take political science in the ninth grade. I had to take political science in college. And here's what we were taught about American politics. It swings from conservative, in a few years it goes back to liberal, and then in a few years it goes back to conservative. And every few years it just goes back and forth. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't sway back and forth. I am grounded in the Word of God. Notice what else? A productive life brings forth fruit in its season. Verse 3, success is not just a reward, it's the results of a godly life. Notice what he says. The difference between a man of God and a man of this world, a man of God, he says, is going to prosper. His tree is going to bear fruit. His life is going to count. But not the ungodly. The ungodly, verse 4, so they're like the chaff the wind drives away. They are worthless. They're wasted. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Have you seen the little, not the pine cones, but the little seeds with the little brown dead encasement on them falling down now? I don't have pine trees in my yard, but guess what? Those things get all over my yard from somebody else's yard. But you know what? If we can have another good 30-mile-an-hour storm, phew, they're in my other neighbor's yard. Leave them there long enough, they'll blow away. You know what happens to the ungodly? They're just like that chaff that's blowing away. Now notice the problems for the ungodly. First of all, he's driven. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Think about a ship. Engine breaks down, can't be repaired at sea. Hurricane comes up. They've got no way to steer the ship. And what's going to happen? It's going to wash up on the jagged rocks and probably sink. If you go down to Shell Island off Panama City Beach, you'll see from one of those hurricanes about 2 or 3 years ago, multi-million dollar yachts are grounded and shipwrecked on Shell Island. Will sit there forever and rot because of the storm. Such are the forces at work in the life of the ungodly. They're satanic forces. The prince of the power of the air and the spirit which now works in the children of disobedience. The unsaved man does not believe in saving, nor does he believe in spiritual warfare. His education is taught him to just believe in what he can sense and what he can see with his eyes. The ungodly man is not the master of his own soul or the captain of his destiny. He is being relentlessly driven by evil forces. Now notice, he is doomed. Therefore, the wicked will not stand the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Christians are going to stand at the bema, the judgment seat of Christ. Salvation's already settled here when we accepted Christ. But our works are going to be tested. Some destroyed like wood, hay, stubble. But I want you to know that we'll be rewarded for those things we did with a pure motive in the name of Jesus. But the unsaved are going to the great white throne judgment. Their final judgment will be given. They'll be cast in the lake of fire. Judgment will sweep them away. Notice he is damned. For the Lord watches over the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. There's only two ways in life. There's the cross that leads to Calvary. Or I want you to know there's the curse that leads to a lost eternity. Notice the prosperity of the Christian. Whatever they do prospers. Verse 3. Look at verse 6. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Everything will prosper. His business, his family, his church life, his personal life. Such is the godly man, the happy man. Don't you love it when you're happy? Couples come to me sometimes and say, we want a divorce. Okay. It's his fault. He said, no, it's her fault. Well, we want to get a divorce because we're not happy. You know what? God's not really concerned about our happiness. He's concerned about our obedience. And it's amazing when we obey God, he blesses us and there's happiness. And if you live by the principles in the Word of God and treat your wife like she's a lady and a gift given to you by God, and you're supposed to be a spiritual leader in your home, and if you're a wife who loves your husband and admires him for that godly leadership, and both of you have a servant spirit putting one's needs above the other, you'll know happiness. I was reading the other day about a surgeon. Back in 2006, Dr. Samuel Weinstein, he was head of cardiac surgery at a children's hospital in the Bronx, New York. He would go on mission trips to perform surgery in other countries. He traveled to El Salvador. There's a group that is called the Ministry of Heart Care International. Dr. Weinstein heard about an 8-year-old boy over there who had to have heart surgery or he would die. So Dr. Weinstein flew over with a crew. They had several surgeries set up. So Dr. Weinstein came to this little 8-year-old El Salvadorian boy, and he told him what he was going to do for him. They got him on the table with his team. Surgery was going a lot longer than thought. It was more difficult. Little boy was bleeding out quickly. They didn't have the medications in that crude hospital to stop the bleeding. Guess what his blood type was? B negative. Now, if you know anything about blood types, if you're B negative, you better know somebody, and you better be sending them gift certificates for their health and for meals and stuff so they stay healthy in case you need them. They're about to lose the boy, and Dr. Weinstein said, well, you know, my blood type is B negative. So if you guys just keep this surgery going, I'll step back over here and get out of my scrubs, and I'll give enough blood to get him through the surgery. Within 20 minutes, he'd given the blood. It was being administered. I love this. The doctor rehydrated, and then he ate a Pop-Tart. Re-energized him, and he went back in there as head of surgery and finished up that surgery. Boy survived and went on to live a healthy life. I've never even heard anything like that. The doctor was willing to give his own blood to save a life of that little boy. Let's take that out on a larger scale. God sent his son to give his own blood. That's enough for the whole world. And whosoever calls on his name shall be saved. If the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to make that sacrifice, why should we have problems living by Psalm 1? The godly, the saint, witness to the sinners over here. Why do we have problems staying with the saints in the Bible-based lifestyle, and we want to come a little bit more like the world, and we got a foot in over here and a foot in. I don't know about you, but this is not very comfortable for me right now. He says, for the saint, whatever you do will prosper. I don't know if that means your children. I don't know if it's financial, I don't know if it's your health, I don't know what it is, but I don't want to miss any blessings from God. Psalm 1, a handbook to spiritual happiness. Will you stand right where you are, heads bowed, eyes are closed? Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us today. Very, very simple message, a simple psalm, but wow, we've got to make sure we're sensitive to the leadership of the Spirit every day to allow these principles in our lives. And what a sharp contrast if this were photographs or works of art in the two different kinds of lives. Thank you for sending your Son to be a visual example for us and painting word pictures through Scripture so we're without excuse if we're not living godly lives. Forgive us where we fail. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, I'm praying for you right now. Maybe you're listening on the stream. Maybe you're in the Family Life Center. Maybe you're here in the Worship Center. Realize Jesus died to purchase your free gift of salvation. The Bible says, whosoever calls on his name shall be saved. Would you invite Christ into your heart right now? Maybe you're here today and you need to make that public. We invite you to go to the Connect table. We invite you to go to the guest registration desk in the Worship Center and the Welcome Center. And a staff member will meet with you. Some of you looking for a church home, you've got questions. You may not even be ready to make your decision. You've got questions. If you'll go to the Connect desk or the Welcome Center, we'll give you an appointment right after this service to talk with one of our staff members to answer your questions. Lord, we thank you that you're doing business in our hearts at this, the most important time of this service. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Ted is in the Family Life Center with our praise band. They're coming forward. There are people at the Connect table. Here in the Worship Center, there are people at the guest registration desk. If you're listening by tape or by stream and you need prayer or you need to talk to somebody about your salvation or maybe becoming a part of this fellowship, just call 706-234-1841. Leave a message. Somebody will get back with you right away. Let's sing now as God speaks to our hearts.